Today's show is sponsored by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Regular use of Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology provides a continuously invisible shield of protection against dandruff, itch, and dryness, renewing your protection with every wash. Get up to 100% dandruff protection that's never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology, available at Walmart.com.
And Foot Clan, we want to thank Coinbase for sponsoring today's show. If you've been looking to level up your financial portfolio,
crypto,
it's always good to diversify. And why not think about cryptocurrency? It's backed by the world's leading investors. Coinbase keeps your portfolio safe, secure, while adding crypto into the mix. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, a mobile app. You can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. I've had a Coinbase account for many years. That was my introduction into the cryptocurrency space, and they did. They made it easy. That was where I was worried about. It's like, this sounds confusing. Coinbase is not confusing at all. It's a fantastic app. And for a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/footballers. Sign up at coinbase.com/footballers for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/footballers.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in.
It's football time. Workout version. For one team.
Oh, welcome in. Thursday, November 11th, 2021. It is Veterans Day. Shout out to all the veterans who have served our country.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And, you know, we were in the studio yesterday, and we were discussing the date, right? November 11th.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And we said, you know, like, my kids are off today on a Thursday, and they're mm-hmm. back tomorrow. And we wondered, like, you know, some holidays are like the, you know, always the third Tuesday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
The reason, do you know the reason why it's November 11th?
Oh, I do not.
See, I said
that's interesting. Great.
This is great. 11 is my favorite number. I assumed it was because it was everybody's favorite number. 11-11 is the best day. Celebrate veterans. That's wrong. That's
no,
not correct.
Now they don't just celebrate things on your favorite number.
Okay. Well, let's find out why.
But when World War One ended,
okay,
which was the Treaty of Versailles,
mm-hmm.
but fighting stopped earlier when there was an armistice on the 11th day of the 11th month at 11 a.m. And that is why Veterans Day.
There you go.
And we can't just like mix it up because Canada, Great Britain, and Australia celebrated as well.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah.
Maybe that is why 11 is my favorite number.
And I learned all of that
maybe
from one of my kids' school teachers. So
those darn kids learning.
Thought it was pretty interesting.
That's
but,
pretty cool. Yeah.
We've got a lot on today's episode. We have some news to talk about. The return of a long-lost drop on the show today. We have the Fantasy Forecast Part 1 getting into the Week 10 matchups. We have Starts of the Week, the Boom Boom Kicker. We've got Never Not Working, which is it's becoming a fan favorite segment of the show. So as you enjoy that segment, the pressure builds to keep delivering the goods.
Never.
In that segment.
I never feel pressure.
Oh, you were crying.
I'm a valve.
You were crying yesterday.
I am a open valve, just the steam's going out.
Mm-hmm.
No pressure ever building.
Sure. You can find us on Twitter at the FF Ballers. Invite you to check out our community. Jointhefoot.com for an extra show, a bunch of premium tools and resources to help you win each week. And let's get right into it.
Never Not Working. Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
All right, I'm jumping in today. I will be handling the never not working. And this,
you always do the never working.
Yeah.
Around here.
It's the best. You should try it out. You get nothing done.
It's great.
uh, But we want to talk about second half league winners, and because you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's the second half. Who's about to take off, and who's going to take me to the championship? And so we just wanted to look at, you know, not necessarily just who could do it, but where, what are the signs? What do we need to be looking for? Those variables that could flip into the right direction. You know, how often does it happen? And this week we're taking a look at the quarterback position and the running back position. And, you know, we looked over the last three seasons, you know, how many players are actually making that tier jump and what's happening. So in 2018, we, of course, had the Josh Allen rushing explosion, if you remember, where he was putting up like a hundo and a rushing touchdown every single week. And Lamar Jackson also turned into a starter and ended up as a fine fantasy player. 2019 was incredibly fun because you had Ryan Tannehill go from escaping Adam Gase, a new team. He ends up taking over for the Titans and then works his way into fantasy glory and a big bag of money on top of that. And we also had Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you guys remember second half Ryan Fitzpatrick of 2019, it was freaking awesome. And then last year, Cousins and Derek Carr. So what we're looking for here is room for positive touchdown regression. They're underperforming there, which for things like the league average, you know, we talk about this number on the show. It's about 4.5% or so. It fluctuates from year to year, but 4.5% of your attempts turn into touchdowns. They have an untapped rushing upside like Josh Allen. And, of course, rookies get a bump because they get experience and they just play better over the second half of the year. And after running all of those variables, and here's the thing about second half guys, like in 20, let's just go to the last year. In 2020, if you had said, guys, Kirk Cousins, who is the quarterback 23 over the first half, he's about to get in a rocket ship and go to just fantasy glory and finish as the quarterback 3 over the second half, you go, you sound stupid.
Like, yeah.
You sound
so
like,
that's the goal here.
How dare you infer that Kirk Cousins is going to be dominant over the second half? But that's what you got to look for. So Daniel Jones has the fourth easiest.
You sound stupid.
Exactly. He's got the fourth easiest quarterback strength of schedule. He is surrounded by weapons. And we have not seen a fully healthy arsenal of New York Giants wide receivers from Shepard, Galladay, Tony, and Slayton.
And Barkley.
Like, and Saquon Barkley, like, it's crazy how much talent Daniel Jones is surrounded by, and yet...
And never has.
He still has never fully been surrounded by that. He has the positive regression that could happen for his touchdown rate, and he runs. We know that these things are true for Daniel Jones, so he's an interesting guy to watch.
Yeah, he had the same touchdown rate last year, though.
I know. But that's why we're giving these names. They sound stupid until they're not. And, of course, Trevor Lawrence, his schedule is – it does open up pretty wide aside from his championship week against the Patriots on the road.
Got to get to the championship
week. But, like, his schedule is easy, and he fits into the mold that we were talking about. So he might be interesting, a player
to
watch.
What's his touchdown rate so far this year? Oh, I have it at 2.7.
Yeah, and that's well under the league average. So that, like, he doesn't need to – be Herculean. He just needs to be average in the touchdown department. All of a sudden, Trevor Lawrence is far more interesting. At the running back position, we're looking. These are the variables we're looking for. Young players, the majority of the second half breakout candidates, they're first or second year players. Every once in a while, you get an old guy like Colonel Mustard or the Yeti, but those are like
last year.
Those are fringe cases. Go
Jonathan
ahead.
Taylor, David Montgomery, J.K. Dobbins. J.D. McKissick.
Yeah, so he was the old
huge
man.
Huge leaps in the second half for those players.
Yeah, J.D. McKissick was the one older veteran who came through, but, you know, Alex Smith took care of that. But you want to look for, so a young player, nice schedule.
Like Monty had a nice schedule
him
last year.
And Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
Where the opportunity was there and they took advantage. We need room, again, for positive touchdown regression. And, will the backfield, can it clear up? And we've been talking about it for a while, but you got to mention it again because Javonte Williams, it could just stay status quo. Melvin Gordon can be in this category too. Like, if Javonte Williams misses time, the schedule for the Denver Broncos running backs is so ridiculously juicy. They have literally one bottom half matchup from now through championship week, and that's week 13 against the Kansas City Chiefs. So both of those guys have a huge opportunity here to turn into a to give you that second half league winning performance. And guess who's back?
Oh baby, I'm
back again.
I've been waiting.
David Montgomery. He's the third easiest strength of schedule for the way that we gauge these things, where he has a tough matchup in week 13 against Arizona. Green Bay is
middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack, but everything else is just green lights for David Montgomery, who returned right to the workload. But other players, you know, Elijah Mitchell and Michael Carter, they fit young player, positive touchdown regression could come, and the backfield could clear up. So those are names that we want to keep in mind for second half breakouts here for the running back position.
It's delightful when you find one of these guys.
You never ever forget when you hit on one of these players. They go into your Hall of Fame. They can do, like, for me,
you hung a you hung a poster up once.
Yes,
of one of your heroes.
Like, I don't know if you guys have names that immediately come to mind, but for me, Robert Griffin he was pretty good all year, but I mean, he helped carry me. And Jeremy Hill, well, if you've listened to this show since the beginning, Jeremy Hill was someone that I was just so convicted in the draft process. I drafted him everywhere. I sat on him for 9 weeks of nothingness. And then he fit the bill. Giovanni Bernard.
Was that the year he eliminated me from the playoffs?
Yes.
He eliminated
everybody from the playoffs because he went just full Hamburglar over the second half.
Tim Hightower was my guy.
Oh, yeah. For the Saints year?
The Saints year when he was that waiver wire pickup that went ham at the end, got me a championship. You never forget those guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, David Montgomery, Javonte Williams, Elijah Mitchell, go trade for them.
All right, get up to 100% dandruff protection that's never not working, just like this segment, with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology available at Walmart.com.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Oh, brother!
That's yes. Right.
Never leave.
Never leave. We didn't even need to change the graphics. I mean, he is meeting with he being Cam Newton, is meeting with the Carolina Panthers today. And, recent buzz is that this is, you know, Ian Rappaport says this is a legit possibility that he signs with them. Sam Darnold is going to be out a while.
It makes complete sense from the standpoint, not of working with Matt Rhule, but comfortable in the city, comfortable with DJ Moore,
half a game out of first playoff
you're
spot.
You're in contention, and if you're looking at like, well, we don't really think that PJ Walker can carry us into the playoffs while we miss Sam Darnold for 4 to 6 weeks. Like, I mean, Sam Darnold. And he could be out even longer. You're not 100% sure. So this makes complete and total sense, and Cam Newton immediately becomes interesting for fantasy.
Cam Newton will be able to run the ball. He will be interesting for fantasy. I don't know that he really lifts up the wide receiver core. I know we feel like anything and everything is an upgrade to Sam Darnold, and pretty much that's true. But the last time we saw Cam Newton, he wasn't that great either. But these veterans who are past their prime and even bad – can still get the job done. Look at Ben Roethlisberger, right? He's terrible, but Deontay is solid. You know, obviously, if you're dumping it off to Najee, that's great. And the Muth is Luth. So I'm excited. I hope Cam signs. Does that change your outlook on DJ Moore, up or down?
Changes my confidence in McCaffrey's weekly success.
That too, yes.
DJ Moore, up or down? Not really.
Neutral?
I mean, yeah, pretty neutral. Cam. He throws it few and far between. He did in New England, at least, you know. But he showed that you can – with him, you can win a game dirty.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With a solid defense and a play here or there, first downs, him running.
And he's already thrown the ball 10,000 times, Christian McCaffrey, in a season.
I guess the occasional goal line sneak may hurt McCaffrey. But So that's happening. Mm-hmm. We also have a report that Beckham is going to take some time, Odell Beckham Jr., a few days away to pick his new team. Seems like he won't play this week.
Yeah, it's very selfish. I mean, this is, you know, changing his entire life, but we are impatient, and I feel like he should do it immediately.
Yeah, you feel hurt.
Right, personally.
Yeah. Alvin Kamara dealing with a mild knee sprain. Didn't practice on Wednesday. You know, I was looking at total touches per game. I mean, he's averaging over 22 touches per game. This is, you know, Henry's gone, so he's basically tied for first in total touches, and here you are with a knee sprain. This is why you went out and traded for Mark Ingram if you're the Saints, and we don't know what this weekend's going to be like for Kamara, but it seems, I guess it seems like good news that this is considered a mild knee sprain as opposed to something more definitive.
Yeah, he's, at the least, he will probably cede more work this weekend to Mark Ingram. At worst, he'll be out.
Godwin, Allen, Keenan Allen, that is, did not practice on Wednesday. We'll see and monitor their situations.
The Chris Godwin is one that you need to look at just a little bit more closely because they're coming off of a bye week. And when a player misses after a full week of rest, that's concerning.
And they signed Breshad Perriman to the practice squad. So there's been some transactions to say there is potential for worry.
Yeah, was that more Antonio Brown related, though? Do we know?
Well, I think they've been expecting to be without Antonio Brown for a long, long time. So
I thought they expected him to play after the bye.
I thought it was possible.
I think we expected him to play. But remember, Bruce Arians came out and said, right when the injury first happened, he might be gone for a while.
Okay, James Robinson didn't practice Wednesday. Earlier in the week, Urban Meyer said he expected him back. We'll be monitoring Thursday, Friday practice reports, let you know if he'll be back out there, which is pretty important for a lot of fantasy teams. Mm-hmm. Claypool is going to miss some time. Not season-ending. It's a toe injury. Week-to-week is the way they're talking about it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire designated for return from injured reserve. Same with Chris Carson. Both were limited on practices on Wednesday.
So they have 21 days to be activated. It's not a guarantee that they will play this week. They could, both or either. So you'll just have to monitor as we get closer to the end of the week. If they are active, are you playing them?
Carson, yeah. I mean, it's probably a yes for both.
And what else do we have? Dawson Knox returned to practice in a limited fashion. Could be getting him back soon. Hopefully this week. Logan Thomas, this is not good. His injured hamstring felt sore coming out of Monday's workout. So are you more pessimistic about his return at this point?
Yeah, sore is not injured, which is good. I mean, people are sore after working out, so it could be okay. But it's just like Mike said, when you're coming off a bye, this is far more than that. He has an injured hamstring that he rested for a month. And if he's, you know, if all of a sudden after he gets back out there for the first time, he's feeling it, we saw this with Curtis Samuel. And Curtis Samuel has not been playing football. So it's not a great sign.
Jamal Williams didn't practice on a Wednesday. Noah Fant was activated from the reserve COVID list, which Albert O could miss. So you're right back into Noah Fant being interesting.
Yeah, and it's a good matchup.
Who do they play?
Great matchup.
I can't remember off the top
Eagles.
Of my head. Thank you. But I
yeah,
was
Eagles are – I just saw this morning. They're giving up – the completion percentage for quarterbacks facing the Eagles is 75.5%.
Oh.
That is the best in all of football. So if you're looking – I mean, Bridgewater was brought up as a streaming candidate. Yeah. That's why.
We also had another piece of news that broke yesterday. We got to the bottom. Donald Parham.
Oh, very important.
For the Chargers. It is not Parham. He came out and he set the record straight, which is greatly that is greatly appreciated. So Parham.
Did he do that because we brought it up?
I think it has
probably to
be.
We're very influential.
Well, I mean, the timing is just impossible. We ask the question and then the player tweets it out. So, Donald, thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Mr. Parham, you are now one of our favorites.
And we did say that regardless of what you said, we were going to go with Parham.
Maybe that's why he came out. Maybe it was Parham and he's like, well, the footballer said, no matter what, it's Parham. So at everybody, it's Parham.
That's probably what happened. Latavius Murray didn't practice. He's doubtful for tonight's game. He's not going to play.
No.
Sammy Watkins, full participant, expected to play barring a pregame setback. He kind of had a pregame setback last week. It was not feeling so good, sat him out again.
It's interesting because
he's fragile.
In his games that he's played, he's had over a 20% market share. I was listening on the drive in to someone from the Ravens camp talking about this situation, saying he's not even sure yet in 12 personnel whether it'll be Sammy or whether it'll be, you know, Hollywood is the one. Mm-hmm. And then he's not sure when it comes to Bateman, who's looked great, and Sammy Watkins, who's been involved, who will be that too. So it will be interesting to watch tonight to just see if Sammy's snap counts has an effect on Rashad Bateman or if Bateman is the two.
That was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper, the leader in breaking news alerts. You can download the Sleeper app, join the Breaking Alerts channel faster than every other source. We're going to jump into the matchups. A lot to break down for week 10. Before we do that, I want to thank today's sponsors for supporting the podcast, and that starts with Ritual. Here's the facts, gentlemen. We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and sure. why, especially when it comes to something we take every day like a multivitamin. And Ritual, they produce clean, vegan-friendly multivitamins, high-quality nutrients, bioavailable forms that your body can actually use. No sugars, no GMOs, no allergens, no synthetic fillers, no artificial colorants. I've seen some studies lately about the benefits of multivitamins, actually, in recent days. So you kind of want one that's natural. And they have a fresh taste, kind of like a minty after.
Yes, it is. It is delightful.
Yeah, no egg burps here.
So the Ritual's providing multivitamins reimagined. They're made traceable. They're designed with your life stage in mind. So you're talking about vitamins for women, men, teens, specifically formulated for them. You get key nutrients without the BS.
Oh,
and you don't need,
take it easy.
I don't need BS in my multivitamin.
This is a family show.
Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/footballers to start your Ritual today.
And we want to thank Embark, a new sponsor, one I'm excited about. I just got a new puppy. And Embark Vet offers dog DNA tests that will help me better care for them. It's pretty cool. Embark is the only dog DNA test provider that supplies dog owners with the knowledge to understand our furry friends, and we can take actionable steps to help improve the life and the longevity of the dog. 37% of Embarkers take an action to improve their dog's care after the test with Embark. If you want them to live their best, happiest, longest life, you need to know about your dog. You need to know about your breed. They detect over 350 breeds, types, and varieties, screening for over 210 genetic health risks, so you can help your vet provide the best medical care for your dog. We are a dog show. We love our dogs. I have 3 dogs and a new puppy, and we want to take care of our pets. We want to be the best pet owners we can, and Embark is there to help, and you can gift them as well this holiday season. Understand your dog better with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health kit and purebred kit for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $64 off with the promo code Footballers. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code Footballers to save $64 and get the perfect gift for a happy, healthy holiday.
Fantasy Forecast.
I saw that graphic come up. If you're watching on YouTube, we have a matchup animation that comes up when I hit that drop. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers.
Oh, nice plug.
And I hear Brooks laughing in the background. He likes a good plug. Brooks loves a good plug. Not a hair plug, though. But George Kittle is a part of that animation, and it's nice that he's back into the fantasy relevance,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. We've had to wait a long time, but the matchup is good. He was great last week, and thanks for being back.
Thanks, George. Appreciate you.
Yes.
All right, we talked about the Thursday night game on yesterday's show, so if you're like, hey, where's that game? That's where it is.
There is a chance for rain tonight. Little bit rain.
Little bit rain?
Yes. Not a lot of bit?
Nope, not a lot of bit. It was sunny this morning, but they said the weather forecast could rain a bit.
Could do a little bit.
Little bit rain.
All right, the Atlanta Falcons at 4-4, playoff bound, take on the 6-2 Dallas Cowboys, who just got their butts handed to them at home by the Broncos. DraftKings Sportsbook line, don't care. Cowboys minus 8 at home. The over-under is 54 and a half. Oh,
darn it.
Well, you round up.
55!
And
this is our show. We do what we want.
Do what we want. Par ham! Last week, the Dallas offense, it was a disaster. Now, you did have the recovery for Dak managers in the last 4 minutes, salvaging the day. He really was fine for fantasy because of two meaningless, stupid drives against me. And let's talk about these Falcons for a moment, because it was kind of, I don't think we expected them to be competing at the level that they're competing, right? You lose Julio Correct. Jones. You have Calvin Ridley is essentially out, right, for maybe the whole season.
Matt Ryan looked like trash to open the year. You know what I mean? Like
he
looked like it was over. It was done. He is aged out, and he doesn't have the weapons the first 3 weeks of the season. And he's looked great over the last month.
But little did we know. And Mike Davis has been a complete and absolute waste of a free agent signing, not producing. And here you have Cordarrelle Patterson. And Cordarrelle is number two in the NFL at the running back position in yards per touch behind Jonathan Taylor. So he has been an effective weapon. That's 6.6, I believe, per touch. 6.6 yards.
It has been an unbelievable season for Patterson.
And it has been an unbelievably consistent one. You put him in your lineup, you get double digits, you maybe get something special, but you at least get double digits.
Since week two, there are only two running backs in the NFL who've been top 24 every single week. It's Najee Harris and Cordarrelle Patterson.
So you don't look at him anymore through the lens, at least I don't, of sell high, cash in.
No.
This is just Mr. Necessary in all phases of the game, the receiving game, the running game. Matt Ryan looked great last week, one of the highest-rated passers over the last few weeks. He was the quarterback three in fantasy. And then he spread the ball around. You know, you had Zacchaeus with a couple of touchdowns. Russell Gage got back involved. You know, Kyle Pitts, since the bye week, it's like 14.9 yards per target down the field. Like, he is breakout-worthy every week. So you have a fantasy-relevant Falcons is my point here.
Yeah, that's fun.
Now, when you say you have fantasy-relevant Falcons, there certainly will be points put up. But as far as reliability, I still think it's only two players. It's Cordarrelle and Pitts. I don't know that I'm putting Russell Gage in a lineup or Zacchaeus or Tajay Sharpe. I just don't think I can trust them, even if one of them is predictably going to have a decent game.
Gage and Tajay flip-flopped back the other direction this time, where Tajay had the game 2 weeks ago. Gage was a goose.
Let's help people then.
This
if you're flexing one of them, the name to flex. For me, it's Russell Gage.
It's an easy Russell Gage because of history. You're going to have good weeks and bad weeks, but Russell's been there for, you know, years with Matt Ryan.
Fair?
Yeah, I lean that way too.
All right. Dak on the other side gets to redeem the offense this week and gets the privilege of doing it against the Falcons defense, 28th in the league against opposing fantasy quarterbacks. They're also 25th against running backs. This game has a 55 or 54.5 over under for a reason, right? We're expecting this game to be high flying and good for fantasy. So Zeke, Dak, Cooper, Lamb.
Yeah, I think
and Dalton Schultz, I think.
Yeah, I think you fire them all up. The expectation is good game for the Cowboys offense, and you leave it there. That being said, I will say that I would be lying if there was not a worry in the back of my mind over Dak's calf, because when you watch that game, Dak looked off, just looked terrible.
It
looked awful, and it creeps in my mind of, is the calf injury affecting him? You know, is that the reason why he looked bad? Now, obviously, for fantasy, he finished the game fine when the defense stopped playing. But I was building my DFS lineup for tomorrow's show, and I wanted to put Dak in there because of this matchup, and I was like, I'm a little afraid of the calf, and I pivoted. So any worries from you guys, or just?
Well, he basically got a week of rest last week out there on the field. Three and out, three and out, three and out.
That's true.
Yeah, not a huge worry. And then to speak to Michael Gallup, who is he's not activated just yet, but the expectation is he will play. I think Gallup should be stashed to at least see what is what's going to happen. Week one, we haven't seen him since week one, where he played 60% of the snaps, but he did see 12% of the targets in that time. So we don't know what the game plan will be. We know that Michael Gallup is a talented wide receiver, and this is a high-powered offense. So I think that he should be on the back of your bench.
And I would not roster him. I would disagree, just because last year he played 88% of the snaps.
Okay.
He was super involved in this offense. You had three four startable games last year on the course of the whole season, and everything else was pretty much worthless. So that was with a rookie CeeDee Lamb, full healthy season. I just don't know.
He's not the kind of player I want on my fantasy team.
Yeah, he could certainly
consistency? Yeah, I mean,
reliability?
Like, archetype.
Archetype. That was next out of my mouth.
Yeah, and that goes for players like Van Jefferson, too. We're like, obviously Gallup can give you a good week. Van Jefferson can give you a good week. But I'm looking at players on my bench at the wide receiver position as, don't give me a bad week. And both those players can give me a bad week. I'd rather have a Hunter Renfrow as an emergency start just because of target volume. But that's just personal preference.
Certainly is talented. Yeah. Certainly is a good offense. No doubt. So I see both sides.
That's what I'm saying of the targets, where 12% of the targets in just about half of the game, you don't know for sure if they were all of a sudden like, hey, yeah, we're going to put Gallup in. He's a focal point of the game plan now. It could happen, and just you don't want Tuesday to roll around and you're like, ah, crap, now I got to burn fat.
If you're flexing Dalton Schultz or Michael Gallup this week.
Still Dalton Schultz. He's the other name of, like, does Michael Gallup come in here and steal targets away from Schultz?
I believe Cedric Wilson did not practice, so there is the, you know, he's another name in the mix, but if he doesn't play, that would be helpful.
If Gallup is back, Wilson is out.
The New Orleans Saints at 5-3 take on the 7-2 Tennessee Titans.
Wow.
Who started 0-1 getting thrashed at home.
Yes.
So they've run off a 7-1 record. They've lost Derrick Henry and it didn't matter. And they look great. And their defense. Double digits in 4 or 5 weeks for fantasy purposes. And they play the Saints with some combination of Simeon and Hill. Did the Saints score in the first half last week? I mean, Kamara could be limited. Tennessee's at home.
Yeah.
Like, starting with the defense here, isn't Tennessee a strong play?
Yes. Tennessee is a strong play. It's one of those things where we look at the Tennessee defense and we don't like them because they have been terrible in the secondary. They've given up big plays, a lot of fantasy points, but as a scoring, sacking, turnovering defense, they've been great. And this has been against the Rams, the Colts, the Bills, and the Chiefs. Those are great offenses. Three of the four of those weeks have been three of the five best offenses in the NFL. So, yeah, you've got to give major kudos to the defense special teams for the Titans.
So from an offensive standpoint, by the way, the Titans are 2.5-point home favorites. Over-under is 44. That's not high. Ryan Tannehill is interesting in this matchup. The one area the Saints are very vulnerable is to the opposing wide receivers, and you have a couple of great ones on Tennessee. You know, the Saints are a great rushing defense. They're even better when Adrian Peterson's lined up against them. So it's going to come, like, their success is going to come through the passing game. But at the same time, you know, much like the Vikings competing last week, the Saints, when they lose a ball game, they so often come back and surprise you with the resilience. And, you know, the over-under is very low. I just don't know if they're going to give up enough, me personally, to have confidence starting Tannehill or Julio, who I know you guys both like this week.
Yeah, but I'm playing them both. I'm taking a look here. Just an interesting thing here. Let's see if this trend continues. But you know how – so the New Orleans Saints, their game plan for the was clear. When Jameis Winston was the guy, it was limit how much he throws the ball, defense, running. And in the last couple weeks, man, they threw the 11th most pass attempts against Tampa Bay. Now, it's Tampa Bay, and Jameis Winston was in for part of that game. And the 10th most passes against Atlanta, I mean, maybe that's just a fluke thing where they had to keep up because their game plan didn't work. But that's interesting to keep an eye on here for how who has fantasy relevance moving forward. Like the Saints wide receivers could go from they're just, no, you're not even thinking about it, too. Okay, maybe I'll flex one of these guys.
Yeah, I have interest in the Saints wide receivers this week, and I guess this game is going to be my...
Andy's Almost Upset of the Week.
I think the Saints can get it done on the road in this one.
Okay.
Against the Titans, who are not going to be able to establish the running game against them. So we'll be on watch for Alvin Kamara. Adrian Peterson, look, if you're picking one of the running backs, that's who I'm playing.
I would agree with that, because the only hope here is not yardage against the Saints.
Yeah, that's
the
fair.
Hope is a touchdown, and he will presumably be the first up at the goal line.
Yeah, he will. I definitely agree with that. I still think if a negative game script turns out for the Titans, it will go to McNichols. He had the most snaps. He ran the most routes for the running back position. But this thing could, like, Deontay Foreman's play could make this thing a complete disaster, because of the running backs on the ground, Foreman looks the best, and he's the one who received the fewest amount of touches.
Foreman is the Tyson Williams probably of this backfield. Where
could be.
Or maybe the process over the results is who they go with. You're right. It's a mess, mm-hmm. And the Saints aren't the team to figure the mess out against. Neither were the Rams, to be honest. I mean, these are two brutal matchups after you lose Henry. Henry wasn't going to be – I mean, you always would have started him.
Of course.
But these were two games that you would have been concerned about. It looks like Trevor Siemian's going to be the starter for the Saints. And, you know, you listen to Sean Payton, he talks about – he thought he played pretty well overall. That was his feedback on him. But you work Taysom Hill in. You could see a transition mid-game if they're not having success. Really, I like him being the quarterback for the upside of Callaway and Deontay Harris. If you need spot starts at the wide receiver position, nobody's giving up more points to the opposing fantasy wide receivers than the Tennessee Titans at 38 a game. So I like Callaway more than Harris, but I like both. And Ingram is a good start as well.
Yeah, I have a hard time playing the roulette on the Saints wide receiver core. Obviously, the matchup is good, but the matchup's good on both sides of the ball here. The secondaries of both teams aren't that great. You talk about 38 points a game to the Titans, 34 points a game for the Saints defense given up to wide receivers as well. So there could certainly be fantasy relevance at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, and this is the time of year, too, where like those numbers, those season-long numbers, sometimes betray the trends that we just talked about. The Titans' defense, you know, it wasn't great for Cooper Kupp. It wasn't great for Robert Woods in terms of their upside.
Such a weird game. But, I mean, that's week 9. It was the twilight zone for everybody.
Jacksonville at 2-6 takes on the Indianapolis Colts at 4-5. The Colts either win or they lose by last-second field goal. Isn't that their...
I wasn't sure where that statement was going. Yes, either they will win or they will lose.
No ties
this
year.
They could tie.
DraftKings Sportsbook line, Colts minus 10. How dare they? After the Jags knocked off the Bills? Over-under is 47.5 in this one. Isn't this the resurgence, the Urban Meyer breakout campaign? Aren't we on the way?
Oh, no.
No, we're not.
No.
Doubtful. I do think we brought this up. If you're streaming a quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, I think is a fine play. The Colts are 30th against quarterbacks. They've given up a lot of good performances. Mike, you brought up in the never not working the fact that you're looking for a younger guy who has not thrown a lot of touchdowns, who can also run the ball. Those things fit Trevor Lawrence.
Well, he's not going to throw a lot of touchdowns if he doesn't throw the ball to Marvin Jones.
Agreed.
That's part of the equation here. And
look, man, Marvin Jones is just... he's no Jamal Agnew. I've said it time and time again.
Yeah, different name.
That when Jamal Agnew's on the field, he demands targets.
I think it's a good game for Marvin. I think Marvin's going to have one of the, he's always been a player that you often accidentally have on your bench during the breakouts, and then you put him in and he has a bad game. I wouldn't make that mistake this week. This is a matchup where negative game script, 10-point underdogs, garbage time should be able to supply some value, a couple deep shots against a Colts defense that gives up some big plays on the back end, and Marvin Jones is a good receiver. So I think this is a Marvin week. If I'm looking at Ayuk versus Marvin, I'm playing Marvin. I know, Jason, I think you answered that earlier in the week.
Yeah, I do like Marvin. I think he's a fine start this week.
Fine man. Fine.
A fine man, that Marvin.
Dan Arnold.
Yeah.
Get him in there?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, we got a heck yeah.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah. We'll be talking about Dan Arnold later in the show.
Oh. Why?
He's my star of the week. Spoiler.
I mean, his target share has been
great.
Outrageous, man.
Yeah.
Like the last 2 weeks, 26%, 20%. Since going to Jacksonville, he's seeing a right about 20% of all the targets. It's ridiculous.
Help me make a decision, guys.
All right.
Okay.
I've got my dynasty team. It's awesome. You know, 7-2. You guys are in that league. I've got to make a tight end decision this week. I got to go Dan Arnold, or I got to go Zach Ertz against Carolina.
Ooh, that's a Dan Arnold for me.
Are you going Dan? Dan the man?
You don't even know who the quarterback is for the Cardinals yet.
I'd play Dan Arnold.
Okay. I just made the switch. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
All right. Congratulations.
Appreciate you. Carson Wentz.
Are you playing against me?
Nope.
Okay, yeah. Stick with Dan Arnold. I like it.
Nice. Carson Wentz was Mike's stream of the week. He's been on fire. In fact, the Colts have been exceeding their implied team total from Vegas since week four. They're averaging 31.5 points per game.
Wow.
They're really moving the offense.
If you pull up your matchup and on the other side is Jonathan Taylor this week, I am very sorry. I am sorry for the luck.
That's how I felt about Josh Allen last week. That was the only thing. That is that. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's going to mash. I mean, this is an early Thanksgiving feast for Jonathan Taylor. And, of course, at the wide receiver position.
Oh, yeah. We built
this city. Pity City.
The mayor may have an announcement later on in this show.
I mean, I feel like maybe you've locked him into, like, start of the week. Every week for the rest of the year.
Start of the year.
Yeah, but sometimes the matchup dictates that we highlight a player even more.
T.Y. Hilton could be back this week. Obviously,
care.
It's a good match. No, not. I'm not saying it's going to hurt Pittman.
Okay.
I'm just saying if you're a team scoring 31 points a game, and he does come back into a role as the 1B or 2B, I don't know. He could have some.
Or not to be.
Yeah, he came back.
Okay. All right. You know what?
The cards are coming out. Let's see the rating here for Mike's joke.
He got a nine.
That is as high as it goes on those cards. T.Y. Hilton came back from his previous injury, had 80 yards, was relevant.
Yes.
80 in a concussion.
The concussion. Did it come that
week? It was the next week.
Yeah, the next game. Unfortunately, that was against Houston. This one is not, so I would not start T.Y. Hilton. I would start T.Y. Houston.
T.Y. Houston did it again, man. This is impossible.
When does he play Houston again?
Can we
map this out?
Yeah, week 13.
Oh, okay. That could be helpful.
Heal up.
Brooks, can you put on our show doc notes for week 12 waivers? T.Y. Hilton, please.
Cleveland at 5-4, taking on the 5-4 New England Patriots in New England. DraftKings Sportsbook line has the Patriots -2.5. The over-under is 45.5. And New England is currently in the playoffs. We've got Billy B back in the playoffs.
The defense is doing their thing.
Yeah, and they've been getting better each and every week. They really have. They've made plays, and you're looking at this is not the ideal situation you want for Cleveland. You're going into a difficult environment, low over under. You have, you know, Jarvis Landry didn't practice. He's been banged up. Like, he's been in and out of games. You have obviously no Beckham anymore. Nick Chubb is on the reserve COVID list. I don't like the situation here for anybody on Cleveland. I don't know if Baker can get it done on the road in this matchup with the weapons that he has, and it's going to be a tough one for D'Ernest, in my opinion.
100%. The Patriots defense has been very, very solid. Nobody's really torching them. No position is a great play against the Patriots. They're top 10 against quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight end. I would say if there is one play, obviously it would be the running game for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
If Chubb plays, you play him. If Chubb doesn't play, you're still going to play D'Ernest Johnson. He's going to be high enough to me to where he's pretty much almost locked in a start. I don't think he does what he did in his last start and just, you know, he's a top three running back on the week. But that would be the one play.
7 interceptions by this defense in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, they've been great. I have talked up Donovan Peoples-Jones recently. I've acquired him and played him, and I will be benching him in this matchup. He's a good wide receiver. It could happen, but I trust the Patriots defense more than I trust Donovan Peoples-Choice Ward.
Are any of you picking the Browns to upset the Patriots in New England?
Not I.
I am not.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I think it's much closer than you guys do. And
what
I
about by like two, like about a 2.5 point game?
Man, that's a really tough line to call. But I do. I'm expecting Nick Chubb to be out, and I think that Dearness Johnson is a fine play. Like when the strength of Cleveland is the running game, like the scheme. And Dearness Johnson, he's proven to be a good player. It wasn't just the game against the Denver Broncos, who are a fine rush defense in their own right. Like we've seen it now over the course of last year and this year. When Johnson gets an opportunity, he can come through, and he should see a crap ton of volume because everybody's out right now for the Cleveland Browns at the running back position.
They have given up quite a few points in recent weeks to the running back position.
Yeah, I think that's the strength of the Browns. And I will say the one thing, you know, I say I'm on the Patriots side. The one thing that is kind of wacky, I don't know that it's sticky enough to matter, but it is true and pretty wild that the Patriots, they have been crap at home and awesome. They haven't lost a road game this year. And the only home game they won this season was the Jets. So it's just so weird. Again, small sample, probably doesn't matter, but if they were to lose another one at home, it'd just be kind of wild.
Jacoby Myers has, I think, 46 receptions without a touchdown this year.
We can do
so
more.
He's on fire in the wrong way. It's almost like a joke.
Yeah, and I know that, I mean, they are well aware of it. They celebrated when he caught the touchdown the touchdown that wasn't. So they're going to try to get him the ball there, but I'm going to predict it's not happening this week.
Damien Harrison and Ramondre Stevenson are both in the concussion protocol. Brooks, do we have anything new on either of them progressing through that protocol this week?
Not right now.
So we'll be watching, monitoring. Don't know if either guy is going to get back. I guess
we need a flow chart here.
Of the protocol?
Yeah. We need a flow chart of if Damien Harris is in, let's say everybody clears.
Yeah, if Harris is in, Harris is in your lineup.
Agreed.
And now,
if Stevenson is back from the protocol, he's not in your lineup.
If Stevenson is back from the protocol and Damien Harris is out, then I would be willing to start Ramondre Stevenson.
If he's active.
And then
right. Yes, that is.
Which is a thing you have to say with him.
He could clear protocol and be inactive, in which case I do not start him.
But then would start Brandon Bolden if both are out.
That's right. The flow chart matters
that's
here.
That's what I'm saying.
And then, obviously, J.J. Taylor would end up with the big game. In all these situations, J.J. Taylor will have 4 to 5
that's
touchdowns.
Right. Make sure that you get those points on your bench.
But are you starting other options here? I mean, Jacoby Myers has kind of slowed down in recent weeks. Kendrick Bourne has a game here. Then Aguilar. I mean, Hunter Henry can be in your lineup, right?
I think you have to believe he can be in your lineup. He's been, since week 4, there's one game where he has not been a tight end one. So, yeah, you can start him. I mean, it's all touchdowns.
It's all touchdowns. The last month, two receptions, one touchdown. Two receptions, one touchdown. One reception, no touchdowns, and he was the tight end 27.
I think there's a decent chance that zero players from this game end up in the top 24 at their positions.
I would agree with all of that except for whoever the starting running back is for the Browns.
The Buffalo Bills at 5-3 get to, I don't know, reckon with their demons against the New York Jets in New York, who are 2-6.
Yeah, but unfortunately for the Buffalo Bills, he's back, baby. Mike White is going to play this game. Look out.
Yeah, Colt Classics meet a sad demise in this game. The Bills are 11
Tell
point.
Tell that to Urban Meyer.
11 point road favorites.
Weren't they that? Weren't they more? Were they heavier favorites last week?
Yes, they were.
Over under is 47.5. I have consistently tweeted.
I will take the under.
Tweeted Mike White, greater sign Mike Wright in recent weeks. Yeah. I did not realize you look identical to him.
Yeah, but I mean to tell you, it hurts. That hurts my feelings.
Well, that
every
is,
time I tweet that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, yeah, but it's. I mean,
look, it's the truth.
You've
facts
seen
over feelings.
Right? Yeah, Mike White is awesome.
Now here's the
thing. I wish I was Mike White.
Here's the thing. I think if there is something to pay attention to from last week. Okay, they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you want to just say, okay, throw that game in the garbage. It doesn't matter. And I would usually say that. If not for the week prior against the Miami Dolphins, where for
half,
at least half, maybe two-thirds of that game, the Dolphins were shutting out the Bills' offense. And then the Bills came through and did what they need to do. So the two big takeaways here are, one, even though they lost the game, their defense was outstanding.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, their defense is unbelievable. The Jets aren't doing anything against the Bills. They're number one across the board. They're number one against quarterbacks, number one against running backs, number one against wide receivers. I'm not
playing a Jet other than an emergency, kind of like Michael Carter flex.
Sure.
That's
or an emergency PPR league, Jameson Crowder, maybe. No, stay away from the Jets. I think that the Bills get right in this game on offense, but I am a little bit worried because it's 2 weeks
white.
Stretch.
They get white in this offense.
The defense. So, I mean, you're not going to not start them, though. Josh Allen's going to be started. At last I have heard, Zach Moss has not practiced, is in the concussion protocol. If he does not get into practice today, it is more, you know, it is trending towards him missing Sunday. That is not a guarantee with concussions.
I need you guys' help.
Okay.
I need you to, you know, we're halfway through the year. I need you to tell me how you're valuing Stephon Diggs in trades on both sides, trading away, trading for. Because I've had discussions with people about Stephon Diggs, and, you know, this is a player that was an elite option at the wide receiver position last year. He has been fine, but he's been the number 22 receiver so far this year. And last year he was the number 3 overall. So, you know, the catch percentage is down. Last year was a very special year. But how do you look at him rest of season? Do you look at him as a top 12
yes.
bona fide stud in your mind?
I view him as a top 12 bona fide stud. I do not necessarily view him as one of those top 3 guys. You know, he's not in the tier with the Adams and the Hill, you know, but he is to me a top 12 guy. His utilization has been great. The offense is still very good, so I'm not worried about Stephon Diggs being a wide receiver 2 rest of season.
Mike?
Yeah, he's still top 12, but that top 5 ceiling that where he was drafted.
Diggs or Metcalf rest of season?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Diggs for consistency.
If Russ is for sure back this week, right?
Metcalf is like the number 6 receiver on the year. Diggs is at 22.
Yeah,
right
I think
now.
I would take DK.
Jefferson or Diggs?
Jefferson.
Okay.
It's still
Keenan Allen or Diggs?
Diggs. I love Michael Keaton.
Okay. Emmanuel Sanders in this matchup?
Diggs. Okay. The game's over. Got it.
Are we starting Emmanuel?
Yeah, we are. Cole Beasley has not been practicing. I think that he will play, but he is injured. And there is still a chance Cole Beasley misses.
He's ribbled.
Yes, he is.
Oh, is he ribbled?
Ribbled.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah, I think Emmanuel Sanders, Stephon Diggs should be played for sure. And we cannot forget how bad the Jets are against running back. They are not.
Yeah,
bad.
We kind of stopped the discussion, but if Zach Moss is out,
oh man,
Devin Singletary is in.
He is like I would start him over great. I would view him as a top 15 back this week. I can't imagine you can't get him in your roster.
There is at least one report that somebody heard. Is this a good report to even report?
It was shared by Dave Richard.
Richard.
I call him Richard.
Yes, you do. Okay.
Dave Richard from CBS.
Dave Richard?
Oh. Dave.
Dave, yes. Get the name right.
We heard that Ramondre Stevenson will be ready to play, but Damian Harris might not be.
Wow.
So flowchart that one.
Ramondre is in.
If Harris is out.
He will be active. Like they don't have a choice. Now, do they have a choice that they screw us all again?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This is good. Hold on. Let me make a little trade offer here, and we can move on. Yeah, Dawson Knox, if he's back, are you playing him right away?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
It was a broken hand, broken finger situation?
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
So His legs are good to go. I'd put him right back out
there. He will need the hands for the catching.
Oh, I get that. But I'm saying if he's healthy, I'm not worried about are they going to ease him in or any of those things.
It's too late, Mike. I'm already picturing him catching the ball with his feet.
Ooh,
and it's a pretty funny mental picture.
And impressive.
Now, is in your imagery,
yes,
is this he takes to the air and like scissor clamps down on the ball, or when the ball is thrown to him, he goes into a handstand?
It's much more gymnastics.
Oh, okay. Do you worry about the
fall? He's tumbling, and then during one of the upside downs, he catches it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
Do I worry about the fall?
Yeah, the injury on you're gonna land on your head
if you catch with your feet.
Yeah,
you can land on your back.
Yeah, still injury risk.
Tuck and roll.
Okay.
The Detroit,
also tough to maintain the
possession.
You might want to take the shoes off.
Now we're getting really weird. The Detroit Lions at 0-6 taking on the 5-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. DraftKings Sportsbook line Steelers -8 at home. The over-under is 42.5.
Did we say the 0-6 Detroit Lions?
That's not accurate.
I'm going to check my sources.
We're going into week 10. But
0-8. Yes, 0-8. 0-6. At one point, they were 0-6.
Couldn't let that one go.
That's because Brooks tries to stay away from the Detroit Lions in our dock. And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I think one of the questions on our green room show yesterday was, are we doing it? The Detroit fans want to know.
Oh, are they going undefeated?
Are we doing 0-17? Are we making history? Did you say undefeated?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Going defeated? I mean, what do we even call it? Fully defeated?
Winless.
Yeah.
I like defeated.
Yeah.
They were fully defeated.
They have been going defeated for quite some time.
Oh, sorry, Detroit.
You know, this game, however, it has a ridiculous 42.5 over-under, and the advice might be smash the under. Pittsburgh, they've hit the over twice on the entire year. Detroit averages 16.8 points per game. They've hit the under in 5 of 6, and the Steelers' defense is outstanding. I mean, this is not a game that will contain explosive performances.
No.
Because Pittsburgh games can't do that anymore. You always play Najee, and you always play Deontay.
There's one player who could have an explosive game.
Najee is who you're saying? Yeah, yes. I mean, he could
Najee
certainly...
just has games.
Right.
They're not explosive. 2.8 a carry last week, 22 for 62. 3.6 a carry the week before, 26 for 91. This has been a 3.6 year for him.
Yes, the end of the game fantasy stat line could be explosive, but the process of getting there will be drawing drive after drawing drive. Not a huge.
That's a good word.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
drawing.
I just assume it's a real one. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking it up to be sure, but drawing with an L?
You tell me. Here's
my name is Simon.
That's not a word.
I like to do drawing.
Yes, I didn't get where you were going until the end, but that was outstanding, Mike. Oh, you're getting 2 9s today.
Oh,
wow.
We got, hold on.
I can't.
Yes.
I cannot find that word anywhere. What were you looking for?
No, I was looking for drawling, and I got there, and I was complimented for my use of it by you. So.
Because it sounded like a robust, ooh, I had never heard that before.
Yeah, well, add it to your arsenal and tell people don't Google that. This game is
wait, it's a real word.
How are you spelling it?
Draw.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing that word.
Brooks just posted it. It's to speak with lengthened or drawn out vowels. Yeah,
that's
like
so slow.
A southern drawl.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. What a guy you are.
Incredible work, team. So in this game, it's really, I think there are 4.5 options to play.
Okay.
Najee is locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Johnson should be locked in. They are.
Yes, 100%.
No one is safer. So let's move to the other side of the ball. There's two plays to me that are still, you're going to put them in your lineup. It's DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson. I'm not messing around with the wide receivers. I know it could be Amon-Ra St. Brown or Khalif Raymond. You know, people will have games. I'm just not, I don't hate myself enough to deal with trying to get lucky in a bad matchup. And then the
against the 0-1 Lions.
Yes. The question here is Pat Freiermuth. Can you stay Luth with the Muth?
Hmm.
The Lions are, you know, just average against tight end.
I would say yes because of Claypool's absence.
100%. That's exactly what I was going to say.
So let's
he's a goal line. You know, he's better than probably better than Hunter Henry.
It's not just goal line. Like, he's getting
He's been Luth in the midfield.
He is a part of this offense.
So there's three names. I want you guys to order them. Dawson Knox, Dalton Schultz, Pat Freiermuth.
I'm going to go with Dalton Schultz, then the Muth, and then I will go to Dawson Knox off the injury.
Yeah, because Schultz has been great for the majority of the season, I'll still stick with that probability, but I think it's very close between him and Muth, who I'd choose to play.
Okay. I think Dawson's like 95% of snaps. Muth is in the 70s these 2 weeks without Ebron. But how do you not chase number two, number one finishes for Pat Freiermuth?
Yeah, and it's not just touchdowns. Like, he's getting actual target volume.
So, Luth. Brooksy, should we do one more matchup or should we do starts?
Starts of the week.
Starts of the week.
All right, week 10 starts of the week. I'm going to go with my quarterback here. It's Dak Prescott against Atlanta. The Dak is back. In a big way. Atlanta giving up a ton of points to opposing quarterbacks. 23 fantasy points per game allowed on the road to quarterbacks. They got no pass rush. And Dak's going to deliver in the other minutes of the game that aren't the last 4 minutes with all of the weapons that he has. So I'm going to go with Dak.
My guy will be the last 4 minutes of the game. Don't watch it. It's Jalen Hurts at Denver. He's going to be bad, which means he's going to be good for fantasy. That's how it has happened for him over his short career. The matchup looks scary against Denver, but Hurts has a higher floor than the waiver wire guys. You're talking, I like Trevor Lawrence, but I'm not going to start him over a Jalen Hurts in games, and this is the real takeaway here. In games where the Philadelphia Eagles have been 3-point-plus underdogs, dating back to last year, he has averaged 27 fantasy points per game. So he's in my lineup.
And I like Ryan Tannehill this week against the New Orleans Saints. They have given up a QB quarterback 4 points in back-to-back weeks. And the Titans, they will try to establish it against the Saints, but I don't think that they will be able to. And they're seeing a bunch of passes. They have the third lowest pressure rate in the league, and it's like Tannehill gets it done from a clean pocket.
Running back start of the week. Starts of the week. One word for you, Melvonte.
Oh, delicious.
Wait, I get to play them both?
Well, if you have either one, you should play them. Because
that's how I like my noodles.
Melvonte?
Yes.
Melvin, do you get that joke?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you.
What is the joke? I'm not well-versed.
Al dente?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll work.
That's a noodle thing, right?
That is a noodle thing. You want them perfectly al dente.
That's a good noodle joke. Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, I'm playing both of them. There's been three different weeks this year that they're both in the top 24. Javonte Williams is
good.
Really
good.
He is
good.
And it's so difficult because I've wanted to go and like make the end of season investment on him. I'm still scared, but it's going to be great this week. Philly is 29th against the run, fourth most rushing yards allowed, and they're allowing the third most running back fantasy points, and they're doing it to non-elite running backs. Like Chuba Hubbard had 133 total yards. And Jacobs and Drake both scored, and Leonard Fournette had 127 total yards and 2 touchdowns. So it's going to be good this week for both of those Denver running backs.
I love the name. I'm going to go with a smash play of Daryl Henderson this week in San Francisco. He is going to be a top 5 running back. This is a reminder that he is elite for fantasy. Last week, the Rams, they sucked. He was the running back 37, but he is second in the NFL in touchdown expectation behind only Jonathan Taylor, tied for second most touches inside the 5-yard line. If you remember last week, San Francisco was gashed by James Conner. They've allowed the 5th most 10-plus run yards and ranked 28th in yards before contact. So I don't be afraid of last week's Daryl Henderson. Plug and play.
And I tweeted this out because on Tuesday because the Nick Chubb COVID information came out after the waiver show. I said Dearness moves to my top pickup of the week because of what he could represent. And it's a dude that got it done against the Denver Broncos, 22 for 142 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. And the Patriots, while I get it on paper, it looks scary, but 3 straight weeks they have given up top 12 points to the running back position. And so of course, if Nick Chubb is active, I'm not playing Dearness Johnson, but just saying, like, if you held on to him or if you grabbed him off with a waiver wire, if Nick Chubb is out, I'm getting D'Ernest in my lineup as a running back too.
All right. By the way, we do have an update here. Mr. A.J. Green.
Is he off the COVID list?
He's off the COVID list.
Okay.
Is that interesting to you at all in the fact that
yes.
It does it seem likely to you that Hopkins, I mean, he didn't practice again today.
I don't expect Hopkins to play.
I agree.
Kyler could play and Hopkins couldn't. And if that situation happens, that A.J. Green is interesting.
Just throwing it out there.
If Kyler isn't playing, I'm probably not going to mess with A.J.
All right, my wide receiver start of the week, I'm actually going to go a little deeper here. I'm going to go with Marquez Callaway of the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, there you go.
But I'm going to mention Deontay Harris at the same time because I think both of these guys are worth a start. Tennessee is dead last, like I said, against the wide receiver position. They've allowed the highest opponent wide receiver target share. And, you know, Callaway's number of routes run has picked up recently, 40, 32, 38 in the last 3 weeks. I think it'll be Simeon, which means a more consistent Winston-like passing offense as opposed to what Taysom might represent. Is Kamara slowed? Do they need to use these wide receivers? I think Callaway's a startable asset this week.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm going with the guy that Andy said he didn't really love. I absolutely love him this week. I think Julio Jones is a smash play.
I think he's very interesting.
The Saints are not actually a good pass defense. They are giving up 34 fantasy points per game to wide receivers. There's two wide receivers there. There's A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Julio looked good last week despite his fantasy finish because they were dominating that game. And you've got Marshawn Lattimore, who's going to be on the one. And the one isn't Julio there. They're allowing the sixth most fantasy points to wide receivers, fourth highest opponent completion rate. They've been beat by the Falcons, the Giants, the Patriots, the Panthers have beat up. Julio Jones has been a Saints killer for his career, 90 receiving yards per game on average against the Saints.
Before I give you my wide receiver start of the week, I need to point out, what button are you about? Oh, yeah. Andy wasn't joking when he said, okay, but I need to go make a trade offer. No, he went and made a trade offer.
Okay, so what was the trade?
So he just traded Brandon Ayuk for Ramondre Stevenson.
Oh, wait, he accepted my trade?
He did.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yeah, it went through. I got the alert.
I am the Damian Harris manager.
Yes.
And I am thrilled by this
news. Wow, that's a smart move, and you did it swiftly.
Man, I used Brandon Ayuk just perfectly. Off of waivers.
Maybe.
Started him for a week. Shipped him out.
Maybe. All right, for my wide receiver start of the week, grab those keytars, fire up the synthesizers, because we're going on vacation. And there's only one city that I want to visit these days. That's Pity City. The Jags giving up top 11 production to wide receivers in 5 of the previous 6 games, allowing the third highest expected points per pass attempt. They stink. I get it. It was a fun story. They beat the Buffalo Bills. Don't care. I'm playing Michael Pittman with full confidence, and I expect him to continue his tear.
Continue it.
Continued. Mike Gesicki is my start of the week at the tight end position. Baltimore is 31st against the tight end, and Mike Gesicki, I mean, Baltimore's recent, some of the tight ends that played against them, they had success. Noah Fant, 6 for 46 and a touchdown. The big C.J. Uzomah game was 3 for 91 and 2 against Baltimore. Jared Cook had a nice game against them, and Mike Gesicki's averaging 70 receiving yards per game since week 3. So,
He's a smash play.
I mean, Parker is on IR for multiple weeks, and whether it's Brissett or Tua, Gesicki is too important.
Yeah, I love the Gesicki pick. I went to put him in, but you had him first, so I'm going
Gesicki
with
picky.
Oh, thank you. I'm going with the postman, Dan Arnold.
Oh, and that's what you get when the producers and Andy have buttons.
Oh, I love it. The double up. Dan Arnold against the Indianapolis Colts. Postman has delivered since coming to Jacksonville. He's averaging 7.5 targets and 55 receiving yards.
We're out of control now.
We are, and we'll never rein it in. The Colts are allowing the fourth most fantasy points to tight ends. Look at the last 2 weeks. You had Tennessee, 9-plus targets to tight ends and a Jeff Swaim touchdown. The Jets had 12 targets to tight ends and a Ryan Griffin touchdown. So I think Dan Arnold comes through in a big way this week.
And I want to highlight whoever's playing tight end for the Washington football team. And at this point, it does not seem like it's going to be Logan Thomas coming off of the IR. He's sore. He's going to test it tomorrow, and then we will see. If he's out, I think that Ricky Seals-Jones is in a fine position here to be a streaming tight end. Tampa Bay has consistently given up points to the tight end position. Top 12 points to the position in 6 of the previous 8 games. Like, Ricky Seals-Jones, 6 targets a game. The second most tight end routes run in the span since he has taken over as the starter. He's the number 2 option for this team, and they will have no choice. Washington will have no choice but to throw against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they try to keep pace and stay in the game. And I think that Seals he's in play for a streamer this week.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom boom kicker of the week.
Freshly inked, I began to stink, rotting with the prison's septic smell. Nay, I sat in my poo, mocked by the crew led by Pittsburgh's Chris Boswell.
Number one, fabulous. I was there. The imagery, the rhyme scheme, I am with you on your journey.
Thank you.
Number two, you have completely abandoned...
Oh, there was number two in there.
You have completely abandoned any charade that you are actually writing.
Damn, 100%.
I don't know what you mean.
Like, the beginning of the year, I was like, oh, Jason's really
getting
into this.
He's doing some good stuff over here.
He's embracing the boom boom segment.
Yes, I am. 100% me. I'm writing these great rhymes.
You've been drawing out all these rhymes on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Hey, an update for you. No Godwin during the public portion of practice again today.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I do want to speak briefly. Antonio Brown was catching balls from the jugs machine. Rob Gronkowski doing some light work. I will speak to the fact that the team did not place Antonio Brown on IR. They could have. They still could have. So from a longevity standpoint and what Bruce Arians talked about yesterday, it's still not looking like it's, you know, this is not a long, drawn-out thing for Antonio Brown. They do expect him back out on the field soon.
Yeah.
And otherwise, they'd throw him on IR.
And we did not, you know, cover the Bucs, but if Godwin missed practice today as well, you should throw Tyler Johnson on your waiver wire or off the waiver wire onto the back of your team just in case. Because he, against Washington, if Godwin is out, he becomes very interesting.
If AB is active, is he just right back in?
Yeah, yes. But he's not going to be active this week.
There's a chance he could be active this week, yes.
Man, video.
Versus what the head coach says are different things.
Well,
so
it's very murky.
He said, I don't know if he's going to make it back this week.
Yeah, it's very murky, but saying if AB is out and Godwin is out, then Tyler Johnson against Washington is...
He's got to throw it somewhere.
He's
I think O.J. Howard, I mean, maybe. You know, it's like... Gronkowski he's hurting, man. He is hurting. And if you're that team, you're looking at playoffs, right? I mean, for all these guys. Mm-hmm.
Oh, O.J. Howard, sorry, I know we're running long here, but O.J. Howard reminds me, not everybody was part of the Green Room show last night. We got to let the Foot Clan in on our big money bet between whoever catches the next first touchdown between Andy and I. I have Will Dissly,
yeah,
and you have Jimmy Grandpa.
Yeah, and so we're starting that after the bye.
Right away. Don't worry. He's not going to catch one.
The stupidest bet in the history of bets.
That was the goal. We want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting the show. A Jerry Jeudy signed jersey going right now for $15. That's the current price at pristineauction.com. George Kittle signed mini helmets at $41 right now. It ends tonight. Both of those do. But there's hundreds at pristineauction.com. Use the code BALLERS. You'll get a $10 credit. We'll be back with more matchups on tomorrow's show, including two spins of the Wheel of Shame on tomorrow's episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.